not the sense of possibilities each and every day. I heard a calling that was right for me. I prayed for strength for what's ahead of me. Show me. Before me was my enemy.
Don't tread on me.
He's come to take away my liberty. I'd rather die than be a slave to thee.
Don't shake me this way.
I'd rather die.
Fight against illegal immigration and defender of the First and Second Amendment rights, straight from the ghetto, the prisoner of South Central, Terry Anderson.
What's with this Terry Anderson guy?
He's articulating the popular rage.
Stupid people of America, good evening. If you ain't mad, you ain't paying attention.
I have given it careful thought and have come to the conclusion that there are three entities that we must blame for illegal immigration. Number one, we must blame our government. That's right. Our congresspeople, our president, and even our local officials who refuse to exercise their abilities to stop this problem. Secondly, I blame the people that employ them. I blame these low-down, rotten, greedy businessmen who take these people and use them for cheap labor. They are the ones who encourage them to come here. They are the ones who make this thing a proliferation of cheap labor, and they are the ones that are killing this country. And third, the third and equal part I give to that guy that laces up his shoes one morning and decides that he's going to invade my country. That's right. I use the I word, invade my country. All three of those entities have an equal share in what's going on here. Now, having said that, I have a massive announcement to make tonight on the show, folks. Colossal proportions. The head of Homeland Security is stepping down. That's right. They have made an attempt to fill his job, and it has become an ultimate huge task for the country. They haven't been able to do it. It hasn't been easy. Besides hiring an illegal alien nanny, the police chief of the city of New York had more skeletons in his closet than a research lab at the Mayo Clinic, so he's out. They have talked about Chief Bratton right here in the city of Los Angeles. He sucks. He's out, and he did the country a favor by turning it down because he would have been horrible in the job. Many others have been mentioned, but none have stepped forward. So what's to happen to the country now without a Secretary of Homeland Defense? Fear not. I tonight will do my patriotic duty, and I will officially apply for the position. Put it on the record, folks. I am applying for the position of Homeland Security right now. Now, I know, the president has to appoint the person, of course. But maybe he didn't know I was available. Maybe he doesn't know my phone number. I don't know. But what I am saying is, President Bush, give me the job. I want the job. I will work for free. And I will tell you what I'll do. Here's the short description. I will enforce the laws of the United States of America. Here is the long job description. I will first build a fence from the Gulf of Mexico to Imperial Beach, California. That's right. Surely, if this country can build a massive interstate highway system, we can build a little fence from the Gulf of Mexico to California. We can do it at a very cheap price, considering what illegal immigration is costing the United States of America. Secondly, I would enforce employer sanctions. That's right. I would enforce them. $10,000 for every illegal alien worker that gets caught in your custody. Every time you hire one, $10,000 and 90 days in jail. Let me tell you something, folks. We would fix that problem real quick. And I'm going to put the names of these businesses in the newspapers so that the newspapers can tell the people of America who not to support when you buy and spend your money. And the aliens themselves, I would build a 100,000-bed tent jail in the Mojave Desert. Don't tell me it can't be done. Chief Arpaio, Sheriff Arpaio in Arizona is doing it right now. I would build us in the middle of the desert, and the first time we catch you, because we're going to scan your retinas, we're going to take your fingerprints, and the first time we catch you illegally in our country, 1 year in jail. The second time, 5 years in jail. The third time, 10 years in jail, until you get the message that you are not welcome in our country illegally. You can come here with a visa, you can come with a green card, you can come with a permit, but you cannot come illegally. We will not accept it. This is if I'm in charge. As we do with drug dealers, I would seize their assets, anything they have accumulated in this country, house, car, furniture, drawers, everything. I would take from them and use it to fight the problem that they have created. That's what I would do. I would seize all of their assets. I would prosecute these banks who are willingly and knowingly lending money to illegal aliens to buy homes. And then I would do the magic thing. I would offer a 6-month grace period to allow all illegal aliens the option of self-deportation with our assistance and with all kindness on the conveyance of their choice. That's right. And on day 181, I would bring down the full force of the United States judicial system on anyone caught here illegally from that day on. I would not harm anyone. I would not violate anyone's civil or human rights. I would simply enforce the laws of the United States of America. I would not separate families. I would give them the option to take their American-born children or leave them with whoever they wanted to. And I would even reunite families in the country of origin. This is what I would do if President Bush would give me the job. I'm going to send my application to the president in the morning. I'm going to send it FedEx. I'm going to send it to him as quick as I can, the most expensive way of mailing it. Because I want him to know that I want this position, and I want it now, because I want to do for my country. I want to work for America. I want to make sure that America's here for my grandchildren, and it seems like nobody else wants the job, so guess what? I would be taking the job that all Americans don't want to do. Isn't that what they accuse us of all the time? That's what I would do. The application goes in the morning. What do you think, folks? This is the Terry Anderson Show on the All-American Radio Network.
Hon, have you figured out the bills yet?
Things have been hard since the baby.
I've been looking for a job. It's just been so difficult with the job market. By the way, I don't think we're going to be able to afford the gym with the rent increase.
I'm heartbroken.
Hey, it bothers me that we can't afford the gym, a house, and a decent neighborhood. I think we should move.
What?
If we moved to Arizona, specifically Phoenix, I hear we could afford a house there.
Whatever, but where the post-pregnancy craziness?
Actually, that's true. Phoenix is one of the fastest-growing cities. Prices for homes are still affordable, and the job market is excellent. My name is Willa Key, and I am the designated broker of Premier Properties, and have had many years of experience in all areas of residential real estate. I would be so happy to assist you with finding your dream home. Contact me at 602-863-3050 or email at wilyaby2@aol.com.
We'll call 602-863-3050, and so should you.
Friends, you know when it's time to refinance or sell your home, the first thing they're going to tell you to get is an appraisal for your house, and then, and only then, you can get a loan. Well, you ask yourself, where can I get an appraisal? I will tell you where our good friends at American Real Estate Appraisals. Call them at 818-223-9498. Get with them, folks. They have helped us stay on the air with their sponsorship, and you should be supporting them also. Give our good friends a call. They will get you the best appraisal on your house, and you know what that means. More money, more money, more money in your pocket. Give our good friends at American Real Estate Appraisals a call at 818-223-9498. That's 818-223-9498. 223-9498. Before we go any further, folks, I want to send out our thoughts and prayers to the family of Arizona Representative Russell Pierce, whose son Sean was shot twice the other day while serving an arrest warrant on an illegal alien who was carrying a matricula consular card. That's right. We also want to send our thoughts to the family of his partner, Lou R. Getzinger. Both men were seriously wounded, but they will recover. Our thoughts and prayers go to these two valiant men in the Phoenix Sheriff's Department for doing their duty and being injured by an illegal alien who had no damn business in this country. I want to remind everybody out there that we have friends and relatives who can add to the sound of our voices. You can get them to listen to us live by going to our website. That's theterryandersonshow.com. They can also hear us live at CRN. That's the Cable Radio Network. That's right, folks, radio on your TV. I want to welcome all of our live stations tonight. No brag, just fact. WSRO AM 650, Boston, Massachusetts. WAZN, Marlboro, Westchester, Massachusetts. WLTH, Gary, Indiana. KLID AM 1340, Poplar Bluff, Missouri. Fort Wayne, Indiana. WK AM 1140. KFNX 1100 AM Phoenix, Arizona. KDON 720 AM Las Vegas. KGTK 920 Seattle. And KLO 1430 AM Salt Lake City. Welcome to the Terry Anderson Show. Let me give out that caller number now. Those who want to call, agree, disagree, curse me out. But don't forget, you get back all that you give and then some. That number is 1-866-870-5752. That's 1-866-870-5752.
And now it's time for the most horriblest clown of the week.
Yes, it is time for the most horriblest clown of the week. And tonight we have the ACLU. Good Lord. Here's an organization, folks, that has done all it can to destroy this country. And they're at it again. And this time with the most ludicrous lawsuit I've ever seen. They're suing the Border Patrol to provide them with details about the deportation of 400 illegal aliens from San Bernardino, Riverside, and Los Angeles County in June. The ACLU attorney Ranjana Natarajan, or something like that, made the statement, quote, "We don't have enough information at this point to determine whether the raids were legally authorized and whether they actually resulted in, quote, some net benefit," unquote. I can tell you that right now, Mr. Ranjana. It was a net benefit anytime illegal aliens are deported the hell up out of this country. Now, if you don't want that, fine, move somewhere else. But these people were doing their jobs. Listen to what he says. Quote, "We know they caused a lot of fear in the community." Good. "People were very scared to send their children to school and to the doctor. The impact on the community was severe." They were illegal aliens, sir. That's why the impact was severe, because they weren't supposed to be here, and that's why they were nervous. No legal citizen or legal resident alien had any reason to fear. They had a green card and could go anywhere they pleased as long as they showed ID. This is absolutely ridiculous. The ACLU will fight anything that benefits America, folks. Executive Director of Friends of the Border, Andy Ramirez, said, and he said it better than I could say it. He said, quote, "It's nothing more than flexing muscle." And for what? Illegal aliens. They are not flexing muscles for American citizens. This is typical of the ACLU, an organization that has just gone totally to hell. Unbelievable. You are the most horriblest clown of the week. All right, folks, without any further ado, we're going to get to our guest tonight. And I also want to welcome some other guests we have in the studio tonight. 60 Minutes is here filming the show. I don't know when it's going to be on, but I will let you know when the finished product is done. I want to welcome all the crew here from 60 Minutes. Tonight, I want to welcome the honorable, and I say that with great pride, and a guy that I know that I call friend, Tom Tancredo, congressman from Colorado. Tom, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hey, I hear that you're running for, you're putting your name in for Homeland Security.
I'm in, buddy.
All right.
I'm FedExing it to him tomorrow, and I want him to tell me why I can't have the job. I'm sincere with this. I want the job.
I tell you the reason that you won't get the job is that you because of all of the things you said you would do, which, of course, is to uphold the law. Now, that's nothing, you know, people kind of laugh at that, but the reality is that anyone who would commit, anyone in this country, and I don't care what their background is, I don't care how stellar their vita is, and if they would commit to actually enforcing the laws on immigration, that would immediately end their chances of getting the job.
Isn't that amazing, Tom?
The administration does not want to enforce the laws.
Isn't that amazing? Just absolutely amazing. Absolutely.
It is, my friend, it is. But things are changing.
Yeah, they are. I'm noticing that. And we wanted to hear from you. We want the real skinny on this intelligence bill and what's going to happen, what's not going to happen, why did it happen, and why didn't it happen. That's
okay.
What we want to get from you.
Sure. Well, the bill was set to go to the floor of the House of Representatives. It was the conference committee bill, and so the Senate had already passed it. It would have been really a slam dunk. It was supposed to come to the floor of the House, and this was, what, 3-4 weeks ago now, and I found out that it was coming up that night. Well, without the ability to actually look at the bill for any length of time, I knew what would happen, and that is that it would pass overwhelmingly, not many people paying much attention, because conference committee bills just simply do pass. There isn't an awful lot of debate. It's almost always a done deal. So I also knew that the Senate had actually stripped out the immigration, or most of the immigration provisions of the bill that we had put in on the House side, which I thought were excellent. The provisions were excellent.
Why?
Well, let's see. First of all, we had a provision that said that there had to be a standard established for handing out driver's licenses, that you could not give them to illegal aliens, could not use the matricula consulare. Those are for starters. Then we started to work on some of the loopholes that are there, that are in the law right now, allowing people to use certain parts of our, or at least interpretations of our amnesty, of our laws allowing people to stay here claiming some sort of status, usually refugee status. But there are many loopholes in that law that have allowed terrorists to actually, and potential terrorists, to actually claim that status of refugee, and therefore they've been allowed to either get in or stay in, even though we knew that their background was certainly suspect. So we were trying to close those loopholes. We were trying to deal with the issue of driver's licenses for illegal aliens that are being handed out by states throughout the nation, more anticipating it. And The Senate pulled those out, stripped all of those from the bill. So I used a seldom used tactic. In fact, I didn't even know until relatively soon, relatively quickly before I had to do it, that there was this provision that allowed for the collection of 50 signatures on a letter demanding that the conference, this is the Republican members of the House called the conference, that a conference be held, and before the bill comes to the floor, and if I get 50 members to do it, then the leadership had to acquiesce to it. So I went around, and I would simply tell people, did you know that the Senate pulled out most of our provisions on immigration reform and border security? And, you know, and everybody was pretty upset about it, and they signed. I did not have a single person turn me down. I get to about the 48th person, and the leadership sent someone over to me, and they said, you know, we know what you're doing. You're getting this letter, and we know that you can get enough signatures, so just don't go any farther with it, and we promise that we'll hold a conference. We'll do it. We'll call everybody down. Just don't force it in this way. So I said, fine. So about 20 minutes later, a conference was held, and where we discussed what the Senate had done, and there was a reaction from the members of the House, the Republican members of the House, like I haven't seen since I've been in Congress in mere 6 years, but it was amazing. People standing up who had never before taken a position on our side anyway, or most of the time never taken a position at all on this kind of an issue, were demanding that the bill not go forward. They were threatening to vote against the rule, which is it's a procedural move, but it's a very threatening one to the leadership. It was incredible. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. And so it turns out that because the leadership, the speaker and the majority leader, saw a revolution in the offing,
mm-hmm.
they decided the better part of valor was to actually pull the bill from the floor, which they did. So then you recall that for 2.5 weeks there was a, there was just this battle going on
right.
as to whether or not we would ever have the bill when we came back for what was called to pass this thing called the omnibus bill 2 weeks later. Whether or not we were going to have that bill, the 9/11 commission bill on the floor or not, was always up in the air. And that was because there was a lot of negotiation going on with Mr. Sensenbrenner, who is the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, and Duncan Hunter, the chairman of the Armed Services Committee. Both were holding out for provisions of the bill that they wanted to be replaced. And Duncan's dealt with primarily the chain of command issue. He was
right.
concerned about that.
The military issue.
Right. And, of course, Sensenbrenner with the immigration issue. So a letter was extracted from the president, and it was sent to Mr. Hunter and I think to Mr. Sensenbrenner, or at least I know to the leadership. I don't know beyond that who got it. And according to what I heard anyway, and someone on the floor of the House actually quoted from the letter, it said that the president has promised to, quote, work with the House on restoring those provisions to the next what's called must-pass legislation. Now, that's usually a money bill, and in this case, it will be an appropriation. It will be the supplemental appropriation that we will be asked to pass for Iraq, $70 billion or more, that most likely these issues will be added to. At least that is the plan, the strategy, as we have right now.
And that's enough votes
over that they brought it to the floor and then passed it.
Mm.
So that's how it got there. Those are all the little...
Well, you know, most people never get to find this stuff out, so it's very interesting. You know, but what's going on out here in the rest of the world, Tom? Not that you're not part of it, but the rest of the world is thinking, you know what? We got stuck again. They're going to get us again. They promised to bring this up again, but they're going to bury it. We're never going to hear from them again. We're never going to get the driver's license, because you talk to 80% of Americans. They want no driver's license
That's right.
for illegal aliens under any circumstance.
That's
they don't want a matriculate card being passed around in this country under any circumstance, or at least not accepted by our government and by banks. We don't want that. But it's like the people who are ruling this country don't get it. Or they get it and they don't care that the 80% of us who put them in office are trying to make a statement to them that we don't want this. And I'm going to tell you something. If they don't get it, there's going to be a revolt here. These people are angry. Have you been hearing the anger from your constituents? Because I'm hearing it here on the radio like you wouldn't believe from all over the country.
I hear it from all over the country because, you know, I have a relatively high visibility on this issue.
Yeah, you do. You're right out on point.
So, I get a lot of email from and mail from all over the country. But when I say things are changing, I'm telling you, they're changing.
No.
I see people in the Congress now who are becoming so much more willing because they have, you know, it's the old thing about feeling the heat and seeing the light. Well, they are feeling the heat from their constituents, and in California in particular, you guys in the media out there are doing a wonderful job.
Well, I thank you for that.
I'm not kidding. It is absolutely amazing to see what is happening to the California delegation alone.
Look at the pressure John and Ken. At the pressure John and Ken put on the Congress with the political human sacrifice.
Yes.
That got everybody's attention. That was just brilliant. And you know what? More of that's going to happen across the country now because people are angry. Tom, I was at a town hall type meeting it was called the L.A. Urban Policy Roundtable Saturday morning. I was invited to speak there, and I was shocked. This was all black folks there. And you know what? I was around about 50 angry black people. They were pissed, Tom. These people are angry about what's going on. They brought in some other people to try to give the other side. These people, they weren't hearing it. These people are angry and they're tired. There was a time 3 or 4 years ago where you may have talked them out of their anger, but no longer. No longer. What we talked about 10 years ago, the people involved in this movement, we talked about the day will come when the American people will be so angry that they will revolt. Guess what? It's here. It is here, and I'm glad to hear that it's happening on the other end in Congress also, that we have gotten the attention of those people. That's very, very important.
Well, we're often behind the curve, and we have been on this one, too.
We'll get you out in front. I promise we will.
Well,
we will get you out. The American people are not having it any longer. We're going to get you out in front. You know, the important thing with that is that when we do make a statement that is listened to, because, Tom, I've heard statements about violence. I've heard statements about civil war. I've heard, and I don't advocate any of that. Of course I don't. Never want it to come to that. But I do predict it if something's not done in a legal fashion. And that would be a shame because we don't want to see our country go through that. But it could happen here. It really could.
There is a general understanding now. It's creeping up into the Congress of the United States and into especially even people, Terry, even people who are looking to maybe run for president next year. Did you hear?
Yeah, I heard
Hillary
her.
Clinton.
I heard her. And Tom, I got to take a break. We're going to come back in a minute.
Right.
But let me tell you something. If she does this, if she does it, and she does it right, she's in.
You bet.
She's in.
I agree with you.
All right, Tom,
maybe
hold on.
Maybe she'll ask me to be your vice president.
Hold on, buddy. Folks, we're going to take a break. But what I want you all to listen to, this is Armando Navarro. This is what he thinks of your right to have the initiative process in the state of California.
These are the critical years for us as a Latino community. We're in the state of transition. And that transformation is called the Browning of America. Latinos are now becoming the majority. Because I know the time and history is on the side of the Chicano Latino community. It is changing in the future and in the present the balance of power of this nation. It's a game of power. Who controls it? You are like the generals that command armies. We're in a state of war. This Proposition 187 is a declaration of war against the Latino Chicano community of this country. They know the demographics. They know the history and time is on our side as one community, as one people, as one nation within a nation, as the community that we are, the Chicano Latino community of this nation. What this means is a transfer of power. It means control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Did you read this? Chicago just became the murder capital of America.
I don't understand. It's been a felony to have a gun since 95. I thought that was supposed to prevent murders, not increase them.
Criminals will always find a way to get guns, while the rest of us are just left defenseless.
Chicago authorities have seized over 75,000 firearms since 1995. And now, Chicago's murder rate is twice as high as New York City. Tonight, while you're asleep, criminals will be at work.
Not in Kennesaw, Georgia. In 1982, our city passed a law requiring every household to have a gun. It terrified the criminals, and our violent crime rate is now 75% below the national average. We sleep well here in Kennesaw.
Americans who own guns prevent over a million violent crimes every year and save lives. Get the facts. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of Choice Garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting
Network. Broadcasting. Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour.
$15 for 2 hours.
And $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting. 1015 South Mays. Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
And lives were saved. We owe these deputies a debt of gratitude for a dangerous job well done. I'm Roy Burns. Thanks for listening.
All right, folks, this is the Terry Anderson Show, and we talk about illegal immigration. You're on with Tom Tancredo. What we're going to do, Tom, can you stick around for a few minutes?
Sure.
What I would like to do, these people, I got emails this week. People, I want to talk to Tom. I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to Tom. So, you know what I mean? I'm going to put you on with some of the folks.
Sure.
And they're going to voice their concerns, and maybe you can maybe calm them down a little bit, because you know what kind of audience we have here.
I'll try
so,
my best.
let's go to D.A. King calling from Atlanta, Georgia. D.A., you're on with Tom. What do you hear? What do you say?
Viva la migra, Terry. That's what I think.
I'm with you, buddy.
Good evening, Congressman. How are you?
Mr. King, how you doing, my friend? I know who you are.
I'm fine, sir. I wanted to tell you how proud of you we all are, and thank you very much for your efforts. Listen, I was curious, where do you think the biggest sigh of relief came from the other day when the Senate signed or passed that bill without the driver's license provisions in it? Do you think it was the boardrooms of corporate America, the halls and the meeting rooms of the illegal alien lobby, or the White House?
That is a great question.
It is
a great question.
I'd say all of the above, and I'm worried because the only promise we have, and if you read the wording, you know, we operate in Congress and in Washington. It's a place in which words are very carefully crafted many times in order to accomplish several goals. One is to make the opposition think that you're supporting them, and the other goal is to make sure that it isn't done in a way so that you actually have to go through with it. And I think that I fear that is what may be happening. But in terms of what the president said in his letter, you know, when it's the I promise to work with you, well, what does that mean? There's nothing there that makes me feel as though we have a sure deal, and that's why I voted against it, and I actually claimed the time in opposition to the bill on the floor and took the.
Well, Congressman, you're a hero to a lot of us.
And D.A.
Sensenbrenner.
D.A., oh, yeah, I've met Mr. Sensenbrenner. He's a great guy. But let me just say this, D.A. And Tom, you know, the reason why people consider you a hero, and I'm not trying to overplay this thing, you just gave this man in Atlanta, Georgia, a straight answer to a straight question. And that's something we don't get very often. I have asked many questions of many politicians and their aides, and the senators are the worst, I'm telling you. But I won't mention any names and put you on the spot. But a straight answer is something you just don't get. And you just gave this man one, and I'm sure he appreciates it. That's why the American people love you.
I do. Terry, I have an observation. And Congressman, I view illegal immigration as nothing more and nothing less than organized crime.
That's right.
Sure it is.
The events of 9/11, 2001 should have changed forever the way that we regard our border security and our internal security, and they have not. Illegal immigration has increased since 9/11, and I am ashamed of a great many of the people who are in power in this country, and I'm trying to be an immigration crime fighter and do what I can to slow them down.
I've read a lot of the stuff that you've written, Mr. King, and I will tell you right now that you're doing God's work here, and as is Terry, as are the people that I say this all the time. If it wasn't for talk radio, if it wasn't for the alternative media, I guarantee you we would never be in the position we're in now to actually be a force to be reckoned with.
That's right.
Hillary Clinton would not be glomming onto this issue as she did 2 weeks ago if she did not see it as being a winning issue politically. And it would not be there. It wouldn't be a winning issue politically
right.
yet if it wasn't for you guys.
Tom, I move around this country, and I listen on the radio in every city I'm in, and I'm telling you, it is a subject now.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And you know, the fact is that I can rant and rave and try my best, but you guys give me and the others that are concerned about this a megaphone. And when people know that there are folks who feel as they do, that it's not hopeless. I mean, and they have to see it, that we do win sometime. And I guarantee you that if anything, I think that right now the momentum is on our side. It is absolutely moving our way.
Oh, I agree totally.
For the people out there who are enormously frustrated and have been for years, I tell you, there is hope. Now, I don't know that we're going to win, and I don't know when we're going to win, but I'm telling you, it is moving our way
right.
for the first time since I have been in this movement.
And, Tom, even the Alphabet News is picking up the story now. They're talking about it. CNN is talking about it. 60 Minutes is here right now. They want to hear about it. We have got this at the peak of the attention of this country now, and we're going to keep it there. And the reason why is because of the anger of the American people. D.A., I got to go. Thanks for calling, buddy.
I'm proud to talk to both of you. Thank you, Terry.
Likewise.
Let's
go to Ron calling from Orange, California. Ron, you're on with the congressman. What do you hear? What do you say?
Terry, first of all, I'd like to say Merry Christmas to both of you. Mr. Tancredo, my fiance Jennifer and I, we watched you on CNN, and I can't tell you how proud we were to watch you. Dana Robacher, Ed Royce, Mr. Sensenbrenner, I absolutely agree. You're absolutely speaking what we wish we could say.
He is the extension of our voices. Am I right, Ron?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it just, we knew the bill wouldn't pass after just watching it after a few minutes. But
Set up.
Mr. Tancredo, I can't thank you enough for trying, for getting out there and for speaking what we wish we could say.
Well, let me tell you, you're making me you make me feel very good, and you
don't
make
blush,
me feel
Tom.
Very humble.
Don't blush.
I'm not kidding you guys. It's wonderful to be there. God has given me many wonderful things in my life, and I don't know why. I cannot tell you. I understand why He's been as good to me as He has, but the reality is that He has allowed me to use my voice, and in this case, a vote. To advance the issues we care greatly about, and who could ask for anything more? And to have people like you say these nice things is really
And let me say this, and I'm sure the caller Ron will agree with me. All of these politicians have this opportunity to get the admiration of their constituents.
Absolutely.
All they have to do is represent us in our representative form of government. But we are not being represented.
Absolutely.
They are not representing us anymore. 80% of us want this fixed, and 90% of them are not doing it.
Absolutely.
So that's where the problem is. Ron, I got to go. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Take care.
All right.
Do I have time to give you just one little anecdote that happened?
Sure.
Okay. This is about probably a month ago now. I was walking through the Capitol with another member of Congress. We were walking down the halls, and we were talking about this issue because he happens to be somebody that is involved. He's a very important member of the Judiciary Committee. He's actually a chairman, a subcommittee chairman. He's been around for a long time. From Texas, and he says to me, as we're walking, he says, well, you know, you've got your caucus, the Immigration Reform Caucus. And I said, yeah. And he said, well, you may not know this, but he said, there's a bunch of us that have another caucus. And I said, really? What is it? He said, it's called the Bite Your Lip Caucus. And I said, we never asked you to join. And I said, well, I'm flattered that you would not ask it.
You wouldn't.
No, we never asked you to join. He said, I want to tell you this. It's just that there were a whole bunch of members on our side, Republicans, who listened to you, who knew the issue was as important as you say, but we were biting our lip because the president was running. We did not want to do anything that would hurt his effort or his chances. He said, but you know what? The caucus has dissolved. It dissolved the night of the election.
Well, that's good news.
So, and when we went down to that conference, there were people who stood up and threatened to vote against, as I say, threatened to vote against the rule. Now, I don't want to take a lot of time explaining to people what that's all about, but it's, take my word for it. It's a mortal sin, you know.
I know.
In Congress land,
the curse
voting
of death.
Against the rule is a big damn
right,
deal.
Right.
And they stood up, and under the threat, the whip stood up and said, "If anybody votes against this rule, you will be automatically off of the whip team, which is like the leadership. This is the leadership positions that they hand out." And he said, if anybody else were to vote against the rule, you'd find yourself deprived of the, how did he put it, the benefits of being in the majority, whatever the heck that is.
Isn't that amazing?
So
that's stifling the
People
democratic
stood
process.
Up and said, I don't care.
Good
you
for
can
that.
Throw me off the whip team. I don't care. I'll vote against the damn rule if you bring this bill up.
Are you folks listening to this? This is
it
a revolt in
it
Congress.
It wasn't Tom Tancredo, Terry.
No, not this time.
Not this time.
Not this time.
These are members all from all over, mostly California.
That's good news. That's good news. Tom, let's take another call from the
all
folks.
Right.
Let's go to Cherie calling from Valparaiso, Indiana. Cherie, what do you hear? What do you say? You're on with the congressman.
Hi, Tom and Terry. I love
Hi.
You both. Well, I have an immigration reform group in Northwest Indiana, and, you know, we get a lot of letters from legal immigrants and
yeah.
people that are naturalized citizens, and they're proud to speak English, and they're proud to have assimilated, and they understand how precious it is to
and,
be
and we And we welcome them.
And we do. And I've gotten letters from Arabs and Asians and Mexicans and all different kinds. And they are being replaced by illegal aliens. And they're upset about it. And they want to report it. And they want to do something about it. And, you know, they know that we aren't racist. And they know that we aren't anti-immigrant.
Cherie, that'd be a great group. Immigrants against illegal immigration. You know?
Right.
I know. Well, what I'm concerned about, though, is that I know that there are racist hate groups out there that are violent, and they are just as fed up as we are with the government's inaction.
Right.
And I just wish people would quit calling us names and would join us and would help us convince the government that they need to do something, and they need to do something now and do it peacefully.
Sure, I think one of the things that sent that message loud and clear to the Congress and to the President and to every elected official who took the time to look at it was Prop 200 in Arizona.
Huge.
This was an unbelievable achievement. Here you had a proposition put on the ballot by the people to say two things. One, you have to be a legal resident. You have to be a citizen of the country in order to vote, and that will be something that the state will check into when you try to vote.
And no benefits
if you're here illegally.
Right.
Okay. Every single elected official, statewide elected official, and congressional representatives opposed it. Republicans, Democrats, anybody in between.
The governor, the mayor of Phoenix,
senators,
the police league, the firemen's union, the teachers,
yeah.
Everybody.
Everybody came out against it. Now,
and guess what happened?
You have to understand also, I mean, you guys, winning an initiative is one of the hardest things. I've put three on the ballot here in Colorado. They are very difficult to win because all your opposition has to do is to plant a seed of doubt. People, if they think, you know, I like it generally, but I'm not sure about, you know, some aspect of it, they'll vote no. I mean, that's their inclination,
right,
is to vote no. And you will lose 75% of all initiatives go down when they're put on by the people as opposed to a referendum. Now, here they were outspent by their opponents. The people, the proponents of the initiative were outspent by their opponents 2.5-1. Every elected official opposing it, and it wins with 56% of the vote. But that wasn't even the most amazing part. And that wasn't even the part that sent the biggest message. Because among those who voted for it were 47% of the Latinos. Who
half.
Voted.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And that just dispels the rumor that they are all for illegal immigration.
That's
not true. They're just as American as we are.
By God.
Anybody can be an American.
The guy that works for me, that is my publicity guy, my public relations guy, that works these out, these phone interviews and everything, his name is Carlos Espinoza. The guy that actually does all of my work in my Denver office on immigration is another Hispanic young man. And you know what? If you think I'm hardcore on this, you should hear them talk.
Oh, yeah. You know, some of the supporters of this show, about almost 30% are Hispanic Americans who are really, really fed up with this, and they are sick of... They are sick of the backlash against them because everybody seems to feel that they're automatically going to be pro-illegal alien, and they're not. Sheree, thanks for the call. I got to go.
Thank you.
Call us again.
Okay.
Let's take another call. Thomas, so many people here that want to speak to you. Let's go to Shane calling from Mount Airy, Maryland. Shane, not much time, buddy. What do you hear? What do you say?
I'd just like to tell the congressman that what happened to Kerik will happen to the Republican Party through a third party. They're simply going to migrate into power because you guys refuse to do the jobs that they would.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guarantee you that, I mean, certainly the history of the country and the political history of the country is one of third parties developing, being sort of sucked up
absorbed,
taken over by the two major,
yeah,
parties. And one way or the other, it's okay with me because, frankly, I want the issue. What I desperately want, and that's why I was so happy to hear that Hillary glommed onto it, because I want this to be part of the presidential debate. And I don't want it to be one, you know, when I asked, you know, think back, you guys, to the third presidential debate. I had written a letter to the moderator, Bob Schieffer, and I said, Mr. Schieffer, I had listened to the first two debates, and I just want to tell you that there's an issue that has not come up, and I think it should come up, and here's several questions I think you should ask the candidates. You know, so we write him this letter. Well, you may recall this, but as he got to this question, he said, before he asked the question, he said, but I got to tell you guys something first. He says, I have received more mail and more emails and more calls about this issue than any other issue I have asked you about or I'm going to ask.
Well, he said that the night of the debate. He said that to the American people. I was very happy to hear it.
Exactly.
I really was.
And what does that tell you?
Yeah.
I mean, people care. Somehow, some way, we're going to get that message through. And it is happening, my friend. I know you feel frustrated. I do, too. But I guarantee you, it is moving our way. And that's the good news I can give you tonight.
Shane, thanks for the call from Maryland. Take care. Let's go to Stephanie calling from Kalispell, Montana.
Hi, Tara.
How you doing, Stephanie?
I'm pretty good. Hey,
hey Stephanie, I'm on the plane tomorrow for Billings.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's where my mother-in-law is, or my family is right now. My wife's up there. This is, we're going to spend Christmas.
Where are you going to be?
Well, at my mother-in-law's house in Billings.
Oh, okay.
Don't give the address.
Welcome.
Tom,
well, you know, Terry, I just wish that you would be given the job of Department of Homeland Security because the problem would be solved in about 25 minutes. But anyway,
it's just common sense, Steph. It's just common sense.
Pardon me?
It's just common sense.
Oh, I mean,
yeah.
You would be the perfect person for that job. It would be all over but the shouting by tomorrow.
Plus, you know, you're probably, I always say they should pick people who have been poor most of their lives, like me and you, because
all
I
of my life
afford a nanny.
All
but
of
you,
my
absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely.
Hey,
represented
hey Tom, what's a nanny?
Representative Tancredo, the thing I really wanted to bring up was I'm a nurse. And the thing that I'm really concerned about is the disease issue, especially the multi-drug-resistant tuberculosis that's being brought across, because, you know, the illegals are not checked. They come in with Chagas, leprosy, and all kinds of diseases. And, you know, people are here in this country, and they're giving these diseases to Americans. And, you know, the elites, if they think hiring a nanny that may or may not have been screened could have tuberculosis, I mean, if they are hiring somebody that hasn't been screened medically, they could be giving their children tuberculosis or any other disease. And
where
so,
are you located? Oh, you're up in California.
I'm in Montana, but, you know, I used to live in California. I'm an OB nurse, and I was on the front lines of this in 1987, right after the 1986 amnesty. And, I mean, I saw so many women coming across the border that were pregnant telling me, through interpreters or through their families that they did it because of the amnesty. They wanted to have an American citizen baby. So, I've been in this since 1987, but the disease issue is a huge issue along with the anchor baby issue.
You're absolutely right. There's actually even an alarming increase in leprosy.
And a lot of things that we stamped out years ago.
So
what are
we going to do about this, Representative Tancredo?
Well,
I mean, are you concerned about this?
We're going to be nothing about it individually. I mean, it's not going to be the reason why we do anything to secure the border. It will, if we secure the border, it will come about as a result of the pressure being applied from a whole raft of, bunch of areas and individuals.
That's our job.
That's right. I mean, it's going to be, this issue alone won't drive it. The fact that you are absolutely right. People are coming into this country not checked for medical purposes. As a result, we are now dealing with a whole variety of diseases that we thought we had stamped out at one point in time. No, it's alarming. It's frustrating.
It's
aggravating. But it's not the thing that will get us to actually. I keep saying it is the culmination of everything. It's the accumulation, if you will, of all of the issues that you and I talk about and Terry talks about that eventually will bring about a change. And I think it will. And I just pray to God. I pray to God that the thing is not an incident that brings about the change.
I pray that it's in time. That it happens in time. Steph, I got to go.
Okay,
I want to try to get
say one thing. I'm going to vote for Hillary if she glums on to
I think a lot of people will.
Yeah.
Okay.
Steph, thanks for the call.
All righty.
Take care.
Bye.
Let's go to real quick. People, don't take too much time. I want to try to get everybody on. We got about 4 more minutes. Kevin calling from Los Angeles. Kev, what do you hear? What do you say?
Kevin,
yes, sir.
Yeah. Terry, how you doing?
How you doing?
Yeah, I saw you at the get-together Saturday.
Right.
I'm going to make it brief. Terry. All right, you hearing people nationwide. What's the guy's name, Tom Cradle?
Tom Tancredo.
Okay, Tom, you hearing the complaint from California, Georgia, Montana, Indiana. This is not just a California, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona problem. This is a nationwide
used, Kevin,
problem.
It used to just be border states, but not anymore.
But this is a nationwide
there
problem,
you go.
Tom. So now, did the Congress... Say about what they was going to do.
I'm sorry. What was it?
What did they say? They was Congress. What did they say they was going
to
do?
Well, they said they're going to readdress this thing, Kevin, in the months to come. But I got my
All right, Terry,
holding my breath.
Nothing to readdress, Terry.
Well, you and I both know that, Kevin. But this
here.
Is what they told us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This been a write up in Time magazine. This has been on Nightline.
Yeah, it has. Kev, I got to go.
Coming nationwide.
I got to go, buddy.
Okay,
I want to get a couple more. Thanks for the call.
They got to stop playing games and do something about this. We're being invaded. That's
right.
All I got to say.
Take care.
Take care.
All right. Let's go to Diane calling from Beverly Hills. Diane, not much time. You got about 30 seconds.
Thanks a lot.
sorry.
Tom, it's good to hear you again. And to hell with Hillary. I think you should be the person, not Hillary. To hell with her.
Well, I'll go for that. I'll make that trade.
Yes, I don't agree with that. But I also agree with you on the ACLU Terry, and that's all I have to say.
Well, Diane, let me just say this about Hillary before you go.
Yeah.
If Hillary gets in because of this, if Hillary becomes president because of this, you have the Republican Party to blame because
right.
they have not put a candidate up there that speaks our language yet. President Bush has refused to address this. Now, you can say what you want about Kerry. He refused also. But until the until one of the parties puts somebody up, which they may be doing with Hillary, that's going to be the winner. And if the Republican Party gets beat, it is their fault. I'm sorry, Tom, that's the truth.
No, I
Hillary
believe me, buddy.
Is a liar.
Well, that's
irrelevant. That's irrelevant, Diane. The point is she's speaking the speech of the American people now and what they want to hear, and that's a fact.
I agree with you, Terry. I believe that.
Thanks for the call, Diane.
I believe that if we cannot deal with this successfully, the Republican Party refuses to deal with this. If they keep pretending that it is not an issue because they're fearful of the outcome, or because they're placating business interests, if they continue to do that, we will not be successful nationwide.
And Tom, what gets me, Prop 200 is right there for them to see.
That's the message.
All they have
buddy.
To do is look at the message and hear it and say, okay, let's go with the wind.
That's the
you
message.
Know what I mean? I'm going to take one more call from, this is from Eagle County, Colorado. This is Marty. Marty, you got about 30 seconds. You're on with Tom Tancredo.
I can do this in 30 seconds.
Good.
Congressman Tancredo, as you obviously know, we have the Defend Colorado Now constitutional
yes.
amendment, the alien one. My question to you is, what can people in Colorado do right now for the year 2005, because it will not be on the ballot until 2006?
There will be a bill introduced into the Colorado legislature that will be a replica of that initiative. It will be introduced in the next month or two. Then, if that fails, there will be a referendum introduced into the Colorado legislature to do exactly what that proposition will do. And, of course, if that fails, then we'll have it on the ballot put on by the people. But what you can do right now is begin the process, begin lobbying here, get your state legislator on board, everybody who's involved, look at it, because it's now, I mean, we're going to do this starting in next month, actually. So there is a place to go.
Got to go, Marty.
Sure. Perfect.
Go.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the
go
call.
To Team America PAC. Thank
Team
you
America.
Very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Team
absolutely.
America PAC. I forgot. That's God's
not me.
Tom, this board is full. I've got calls here from Irvine, Ventura, Denver, Hereford, Arizona, and one just popped up on the line I just hung up on. These people want to talk about this. These people are hungry, and the show's over. And I want to thank you for coming. I want you to know that you are our voice, and we really appreciate that. We really, honestly, truly, sincerely do.
I want to wish you and every listener out there a very merry and blessed Christmas.
Thank you, Tom. And I want to wish you the best for being our guy. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
You take care. There you go, folks. Tom Tancredo, what a guy. We really appreciate him. And we got to stick with this guy, because this guy is one of the people that's going to lead us into what we call the promised land when this country gets fixed. I want to thank everybody that participated from all over the country tonight. I want to thank Carol DeLee for taking your calls. I want to thank 60 Minutes for being here. I want to thank Mike Reed, my engineer. And I also want to remind you people, this week with the swings, great college. You can go to our website and see it and read that column. I want to make a big announcement, folks. Next week, we will be back at our old time at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock Pacific next week, folks. Thank you, KRLA, for giving it back to us. Remind you of those websites at TerryAndersonShow.com, JuanManofDeportAliens.com, and for the up-to-date information on the illegal alien invasion, go to Glenn Spencer's webpage, AmericanPatrol.com. This is Terry Anderson for the All-American Radio Network saying we will be back again next week. As usual, attempting to articulate the popular rage. Good night, folks.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour.
$15 for 2 hours.
And $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting. 1015 South Mays, Suite 100.
800, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can.